Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and those that might be listening to the recording, glad you could join us for another reading continuing in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, over halfway of the book. So, what a blessing it is when we can see God leading throughout this week and rejoice for the future for Him to lead out, to lead rather. For the rest of it, bringing it to his Sabbath day. I've got a little story to share with you. It comes from the book, The Bible Guide. A man contributed a sizable sum of money to help build a church. Later on, during a financial crisis, he lost all his property. Someone asked him, "If you had the money you put into that church, you could start again." The good man replied, "That is the only money I have actually saved after everything else was lost. If I had not given it to the Lord, it would have gone with the rest. Now it will always be mine." And Jesus encourages our hearts with these comforting words, seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. All these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke 12:29-34. In relation to this story, a tribal chief who had been converted from heathenism was exceedingly fervent in his prayers and extremely generous in his gifts to the missionary and his work. At length, the missionary asked the chief why he was so devoted in his worship of God and so lavish in his gifts. The convert gave this answer: "Ah, you have never been in the darkness," he said. And of course, the other fellow had been, but the depth of darkness. I mean, how dark is it when you think you do actually have all the light and you're living in darkness, calling light for darkness and darkness for light? I've chosen for tonight's or today's opening song, one we're all familiar with, talking about overcoming in the blood of the Lamb. Power in the blood. I'll just bring it up on the screen for us. Power in the blood. And of course, we're coming across a very statement in Revelation, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. What a wonderful choice, James.
Oh, praise the Lord. Good to hear you, dear sisters. Yes, power in the blood, power in the voice, power in the gifts that God has given us, power to do his will, power to be forgiven, and power to overcome. Let's have a word of prayer before we open up the Bible, or the digital Bible, whichever, or both that you use. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of another day. Thank you for the weather changes and the beauty of them and the ability to cope with it. We uphold our dear brother Kenneth on a new day where he's fighting a high fever with a loss of appetite, that advice and dear souls that are on the ground that can help him. I don't know if he's a married man with children, that they would be blessed in being the help that he needs, and he would be blessed to not live in despondency, but to get over this high fever. And in your timing, naturally, we would ask that it would be quickly, but if not, that grace will be sufficient to prolonged to see him through to come back to good health. We uphold our dear brethren and sisters in Fiji and elsewhere that have higher restrictions, that they themselves will keep well in spite of the spread that is affecting their communities, that above all, this will bless them like it has in the past to make them more sure of the election that they've been called by, making their election and calling sure by keeping close to you, Jesus, because that's what we want. And we pray the same for them, that we would each be in thy walls, protected by thy grace, protected by thy life, protected from the law of condemnation, because we are living your life. It is being lived out in us. This is what we need. This is what we want. We want the gospel and the law. We don't want one without the other, and we don't want to give one without the other when we're talking to others either. Thank you for being so interested in our welfare in all areas, and showing us some parts, like that man whom the story I just told about didn't even know that there was a spiritual aspect to our being necessarily. Didn't know the depths of darkness until the heights of light started to dawn on his mind. We want to increase in our understanding, especially in the book of Revelation, that we continue as a family, church family online, that our understanding would be quickened, that we might discern wonderful things to tell others and to be comforted ourselves by. thank you for continuing to answer the prayers of brothers and sisters around the world in the perfect timing of your all-wise understanding and knowledge. Please help our dear brother Sydney and his dear wife continue to get the victory over the lack of smell, the lack of taste through a flu or possibly COVID. Thank you for giving victories to others who have overcome not only a flu but COVID as well, in simple faith with simple remedies to go with it. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. I pray it only becomes simpler, not because it didn't cost you everything, but because it would be easier for us to share, that we will be better educated by thy Holy Spirit to so do. In Jesus we thank and pray for the prospect. Amen. Amen. Well, last week, we read one verse. It was a meaty verse. We looked at a number of Spirit of Prophecy quotations as well, but we heard the wonderful news being proclaimed by heaven over the fact that salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, who they serve, and the power of his Christ, Jesus Christ, whom we call, the accuser of our brethren, now referring to us as brethren and sisters, has been cast down, who was accusing them before God in God day and night with a power that now had little power over them because they'd seen the malignity, the revelation of Satan's will, if allowed to rule and have his way in the heavens from which he was cast. So that brings us to verse 11. Would someone like to read verse 11? We were just singing about the power and the blood.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis. So, because of the blood, on the basis of the blood, the saints overcome. Of the victory of Calvary. It's part of their life. They're dying to self, to have a testimony to share with others that they too can be born again and have a new life in Christ, new thoughts, new motivations, new hope, or the hope. So their personal witnessings brought out here concerning Jesus, the law, and the gospel. If there's overcoming involved, there must be sin to overcome, temptation to not yield to by the power of the Lamb, and hence to follow him instead. And look how far it goes. What fidelity is presented here. Men would rather die than disobey God, and women would rather die, and children would rather die than disobey God. I have a quotation from three quotations. They're small, they're short. They're to the point on this particular topic. I'll put it in the room for someone to read to us. I'll just open up a Word document. Would someone like to read that for us? Thank you.
Maybe I'd better have another go. All who will can be overcomers. Let us strive earnestly to reach the standard set before us. Christ knows our weakness, and to him we can go daily for help. It is not necessary for us to gain strength a month ahead. We are to conquer from day to day. We become overcomers by helping others to overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The keeping of the commandments of God will yield in us an obedient spirit, and the service that is the offering of such a spirit God can accept. Letter 236, 1908, and Bible Commentary 794. I am instructed to say to our ministers and to the presidents of our conferences, your usefulness as laborers for God in the work of recovering perishing souls depends much on your success in overcoming appetite. Overcome the desire to gratify appetite, and if you do this, your passions will be easily controlled. Then your mental and moral powers will be stronger, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Letter 158. 1909, when the conflict of life is ended, when the armour is laid off at the feet of Jesus, when the saints of God are glorified, then and then only will it be safe to claim that we are saved and sinless. Signs of the Times, May 16, 1895. All who will...
Oh, thank you, dear sis. You read it. You read them all. You had read them. Some powerful insights there, particularly on the appetite and the power of getting the victory over that, how moral and mental health is kept in the power of oneself by the grace of God. And only when we reach the kingdom of heaven can we say that we are saved and sinless. What a thought. What a hope set before us. Does anyone want to share any insights, any thoughts, any questions, any comments? I saw one by Sister. What a point. Think of how easily the devil can confuse and deceive moral man when he could deceive angels who are higher than man and in God's presence in heaven. Astounding deceitfulness. Yes. Amen. So how much greater must Jesus be to be able to conquer the devil and help give victory to all those thousands, yea, millions before us, though he comes with greater power now than before. Where grace, where sin abounds, even though it's more now than ever before in the history of the world, grace doth much more abound.
It just shows us how careful we must be to always put on the armor of God, to be close to God, and we're fighting a foe. We can't do it in our strength. We have to do it in God's strength. Praise the Lord. He did it already.
Hello, everyone. Good evening.
Hello, Sister Chaka. Glad you could join us. Good to hear you.
Thank you. Come as well.
Oh, sorry, Brother Dick. We've got three messages. Sound is no good here. Three times. The stress is there. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's important to recognize in verse 11, it just doesn't say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, meaning it's everything is isolated to the person. But it, part B to that, overcoming, is sharing their testimony. It's a personal living testimony of what Christ has done for you, but also the truth that has set you free. So they go hand in hand. And this sort of shows us here that if you don't share your faith, you cannot overcome. It's quite a solemn realization.
Again, it's how many senses do you use when you're trying to learn something? If you believe it and you say it and you hear yourself saying it, that's strength right there. And if you say it over and over again, it becomes part of your life. And praise God, He gave us five senses to work with.
Talk faith, think faith, pray faith, act faith. Yeah, good point, Brother Bob. There's part A and part B to it. They go hand in hand, and, you know, Jesus made provision for us to be forgiven on the cross, but unless his high priestly ministry presents the benefits of that complete sacrifice, we're without hope. We're without help.
Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
Amen. There's a negative and a positive there. Great wrath, come down to the earth and of the sea, the inhabitants thereof. But there's that wonderful positive, of course, the previous verse, but also it's only for a short time. Our lives are very short. You've heard the common saying that life is short. I'm not sure if they said that in the antediluvian world, But still, in the light of eternity, it is very short. Death was never a part of God's plan. A lot of people, that's the reason they don't become followers of Jesus. They don't even know practically anything about him, but they're sure God can't exist because look at all the evil that exists. But you use that logic and you say, are you saying you don't have any good in your life? You don't enjoy things? No, I do. No, there are a lot of good things. Well, then there must be a God. That's your logic. So if there's evil, there's no God. If there's good, there is a God. So you haven't actually disproved God. There's a problem with the creation that's taken place. Just like a brand new car going, you know, it plays up. Well, it doesn't mean that the maker doesn't exist of the car, but something happened with the creation of the car. Maybe not using it correctly, not putting the right oil in it, checking the water regularly, etc. So the angels and the inhabitants of other worlds knew Satan was doomed by Christ's victory at Calvary. You know, Jesus can't be tempted anymore. He's lived the life that's as far as we'll ever go, to the death. You can't do anything to a dead man. Can't tempt him. He's the dead know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9:5. They knew the victory was sure. But there was definite persecution, which we've read in earlier verses. There was going to be further persecution because this was true and the devil knew it. So the church members couldn't rejoice like the heavenly members could, but he's got great wrath for a reason, because he is defeated. And if he can make it seem like he isn't defeated, or he's got so much power that we can't defeat him, then, you know, as the sister brought out earlier, he's full of deceitfulness. And in all unrighteousness in them that perish is the way in which he works. So you'd think he could experience remorse and sorrow for the evil, but he plunges more and more deeply into iniquity. He's intensified and renewing with malignity his efforts to persecute the church of the living God. And Peter once said, under inspiration, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, so the king of the jungle, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, of course, we read that he hath but a short time. The period of time from the casting out of Satan at the time of the crucifixion of Christ to the end of Satan's tyranny over the inhabitants of the earth. That seems like a long time. This period of time is described as oligos from the Greek, in comparison with the more than 4,000 years preceding the crucifixion from the fall of Adam and Eve. We would say that it may appear that 2,000 years since the crucifixion, during which Satan has been actively at work against the church, is hardly a short time. Remember, we all experience this as individuals. None of us live a long time, either absolutely or when compared with all the time from Adam to the cross. But the book of Revelation, as we've seen earlier, presents the second coming of Christ as near also, such as chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 22, verse 20. So if Jesus is coming quickly, then the time for Satan to work is short. And, of course, in view of eternity, it's definitely short. It's very small. I've got a quote from Spirit of Prophecy regarding this this section of Revelation. Actually, it's two quotes, I believe. Well, it's a couple of them. Dealing with this covering on this very verse, I'll put it in the room. There's about four quotations. They're not huge, but they give a little more insight to what we're looking at. But perhaps before we do that, does anyone have anything they'd like to share, any insights from this verse?
Yeah, it brings out the fact that there's individuals dwelling in the heavens, so obviously that can't be the atmosphere of this earth. It has to be dwellers in heaven or in the other unfallen world. But then it also talks about those that dwell on the earth and in the sea or of the sea. And so that, you know, obviously those that are dwelling on the sea or of the sea are, people-wise, are on ships or on, you know, different oil-dwelling rigs or whatever, perhaps even islands. But it shows that everything on the earth, including creatures of the sea or, you know, the fish and the crustaceans and so on, the devil's trying to destroy. Because he knows his time is short. And so this brings out here that the devil is the destroyer. God is the restorer. But there is no safety on this earth except in Jesus Christ.
It makes you think also that whatever God has created as a blessing to mankind, nature, beautiful flowers, stately forests, the devil wants to destroy all of that. Anything that points us to God, he wants to destroy. So he is the author of destruction.
He's deceived the whole world where he almost has the entire world except for a small little remnant that's keeping God's commandments. And in these last days, he's going to continue to put up a fight until he can have everyone as possible he can take with him.
Can I just add, my voice is giving out, because of the short time he has, and short time in quote marks, sometimes it doesn't seem short to us. I guess that's why he is so jolly persistent. He just keeps on keeping on.
He sees every little point at which he has gained a foothold or can gain a foothold, and he will keep pushing and pushing in that direction and in that point at wherever our weakness is until either we have a decided victory over him in Christ or he gets the victory over us.
Amen and amen. Very good points, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Brother Dick, for not giving up. Would someone like to read some statements from the Spirit of Prophecy on the screen?
The work of Satan as an accuser began in heaven. This has been his work on earth ever since man's fall, and it will be his work in a special sense as we approach nearer to the close of this world's history. As he sees that his time is short, he will work with greater earnestness to deceive and destroy. He is angry when he sees a people on the earth who, even in their weakness and sinfulness, have respect to the law of Jehovah. He is determined that they shall not obey God. He delights in their unworthiness and has devices prepared for every soul that all may be ensnared and separated from God. He seeks to accuse and condemn God and all who strive to carry out his purposes in this world, in mercy and love, in compassion and forgiveness. Every manifestation of God's power for his people arouses the enmity of Satan. Every time God works in their behalf, Satan with his angels works with renewed vigor to compass their ruin. He is jealous of all who make Christ their strength. His object is to instigate evil, and when he has succeeded, throw all the blame upon the tempted ones. He points to their filthy garments, their defective characters. He presents their weakness and folly, their sins of ingratitude, their unlikeness to Christ, which have dishonored their Redeemer. All this he urges as an argument proving his right to work his will in their destruction. He endeavors to affright their souls with the thought that their case is hopeless, that the stain of their defilement can never be washed away. He hopes so to destroy their faith that they will yield fully to his temptations and turn from their allegiance to God. In this time of trial, we need to be encouraged and comforted by one another. The temptations of Satan are greater now than ever before, for he knows that his time is short and that very soon every case will be decided, either for life or for death. It is no time now to sink down beneath discouragement and trial. We must bear up under all our afflictions and trust wholly in the Almighty God of Jacob. The Lord has shown me that his grace is sufficient for all our trials, and although they are greater than ever before, yet if we trust wholly in God, we can overcome every temptation and through his grace come off victorious. If we overcome our trials and get victory over the temptations of Satan, then we endure the trial of our faith, which is more precious than gold, and are stronger and better prepared to meet the next. But if we sink down and give way to the temptations of Satan, we shall grow weaker and get no reward for the trial and shall not be so well prepared for the next. In this way, we shall grow weaker and weaker until we are led captive by Satan at his will. We must have on the whole armor of God and be ready at any moment for a conflict with the powers of darkness. When temptations and trials rush in upon us, let us go to God and agonize with him in prayer. He will not turn us away empty, but will give us grace and strength to overcome and to break the power of the enemy. Oh, that all could see these things in their true light and endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus. Then would Israel move forward, strong in God and in the power of his might. I haven't been giving the references for these, but the sun shines on the heavens, passing over its usual round, and the heavens still declare the glory of God. Men are still pursuing their usual course of eating and drinking, plotting and planting and building, marrying and giving in marriage. Merchants are still engaged in buying and selling. Publications are still issuing one upon another. Men are jostling one against another, seeking to get the highest place. Pleasure lovers are still attending theaters, horse races, gambling halls, and the highest excitement prevails. Yet probation's hour is fast closing, and every case is about to be eternally decided. There are few who believe with heart and soul that we have a heaven to win and a hell to shun, but these few show their faith by their works. The signs of Christ's coming are fast fulfilling. Satan sees that he has but a short time in which to work, and he has set his satanic agencies at work to stir the elements of the world in order that men may be deceived, deluded, and kept occupied and entranced until the day of probation shall be ended and the door be forever shut. The wrath of Satan increases as his time grows short and his work of deceit and destruction reaches its culmination in the time of trouble. In the midst of the time of trouble, trouble such as has not been since there was a nation, God's chosen ones will stand unmoved. Satan, with all the hosts of evil, cannot destroy the weakest of God's saints. Praise the Lord.
That was a very good quote. Very good.
Amen. Yeah, a lot of meat there. I'll just quickly just say where they came from. Christ's Object Lessons, page 167, and the Early Writings, page 46, and Fundamentals of Education, Christian Education, page 354, and Maranatha, page 275. Wow, that's a lot quicker. Maybe we should do that in the future, because I haven't separated each, so you don't know where the one starts from the other. I have to do some spacing otherwise. But yeah, a lot of meat there, a lot of hope for us. You know, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2:19, by whom a man is overcome by the same as he brought into bondage. That if we are through the grace of God, we're producing obedience, it's unto eternal life. And I don't know about you, but every time you read the spirit of prophecy with the Bible, the spirit of prophecy, you have this sense that God's speaking to you. You know, he's speaking to your mind. He's speaking to your heart. Although it's not audible, it almost is, because it speaks beyond the page. It goes deeper. If the heart is and the mind is willing to be used and hear what he has to prepare and to share with us and what we're capable of consuming and digesting. And I love what Sister Jean read a little earlier, somewhere in the middle of the quotes, and that was that each victory we get through Jesus, we're stronger and more prepared for the next temptation, because it's going to keep coming while we're alive. Can't do anything with a dead person, right? You know, that's the benefit of being dead. But in Christ, it's not a waste. But if you're not getting the victory and you are failing because you're in self, then you are weaker and weaker and you're less prepared to overcome. That's a solemn thought, isn't it? It's reality. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share before we go to the next two verses?
Yes, praise be to God who giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ.
I am so glad that the devil is a defeated foe.
Amen. Glory to God. Great quote, bro. And amen. You defeated foe. Absolutely. May we continue to act like that as we go forward. He's quite malignant. He is determined that they shall not obey God. And Sister read earlier, he really gets on his nerves when the weakness and sinfulness, there are people that actually want to serve God, which means what? They don't want to serve him. They don't want to follow him. You just look at the second paragraph here. He delights in their unworthiness and has devices prepared for every soul that they all may be ensnared and separated from God. He seeks to accuse and condemn God and all who strive to carry out his purpose in this world in mercy and love, in compassion and forgiveness. What a wicked one we have to contend, but what a savior over and above his wickedness. Well, would someone like, yes, keep on keeping on in Jesus. Would someone like to read verses 13 to 14?
And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent.
And thank you, dear sis. So he's not able to attack the Son of God directly, but he can hurt the Son, he can hurt the Father through the Mother by persecuting the Mother of the Man-Child, which is the Church. And two wings are given her. Two wings of a great eagle. And the eagle's like what the lion is on the ground, like the king of the air, if we can call it that. But the deliverance from Pharaoh and his host is referred to by this very same figure in Exodus 19 by God himself and Moses and Deuteronomy 32. And perhaps you could say that it was in haste that is also being represented there, because obviously they continued to live. Some are no doubt killed in the process. And before this time period that's shared here, which has already been mentioned in earlier studies within this chapter. And it's interesting to note, because we've read the book of Daniel together, the dragon, the power, Satan, that was represented earlier, verse 9. He's outside of humanity. And just like you use pagan Rome, there's no other organization, there's no other power system that did such... And such a determined will to destroy God's people for what they call heresy by killing them because they wouldn't follow him. And we're told in Daniel 8:25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, and he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. There's this kind of a mixture of pagan and papal Rome there. Pagan Rome was not broken without hand, but papal Rome, with all its cohorts, will be stopped before Christ comes, or at Christ coming rather. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share?
Yeah, I'm afraid I have a problem. That last phrase, from the face of the serpent, I don't get that at all. According to the English grammatical construction, it sounds like she's nourished from the face of the serpent, but I'm sure that's not right. Can you shed light on that?
Yeah, so the face of the serpent, you know, the sting of a serpent, the thing none of us are interested in receiving, is essentially protection, but also that term nourished up is like bringing up. That is like, that term is actually used similar in verse 6 in describing the same time period where she is kept alive. Not only protected, but kept alive in the process of being in obscurity. I'm going to just bring chapter 12, verse 6, and it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. So there's a particular place God has prepared for her in the earth. And it's not, it can be plural, of course. We know there are more than one place, but it's on the one earth. And that she, that they should feed her there. That's how it's worded, verse 6, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. So she's going to be fed for a very long time. We can look at that as spiritual mannerist too, but this is the true church of God that's being protected and kept from the face of the serpent from consuming or causing her to no longer be the true church, you know, by yielding to the enemy, which, of course, we know from pagan papal Rome, they were all too interested to see a heretic, you know, except that they were heretics. But if they didn't, that just got up on their ire. Amen. And protected from the destructive presence, face of the devil. Yeah. Because Revelation 12:9 brought out the symbol, of the meaning of the term serpent, which is, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. That takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Wow. Praise the Lord. He didn't do that to Jesus. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Does that explain it? Does any brothers and sisters have anything to add to that or to share?
Thank you. So if nourished really means and protected, then yes, it makes sense. Thanks to both of you.
What these verses reveal to me is that the devil, since he can't literally attack Christ, is going to attack his followers, Christ's followers. And in order to protect them from the power that the devil is using, you know, we're dealing with the 1260 day or year prophecy, so that was the papacy. But it shows here that God recognizes beforehand what the devil is going to try to do to the followers of Christ. And he's already prepared a place to protect Christ's followers until the power that the devil is using is eliminated. And we see that at the end of the 1260, the Pope was imprisoned and died, and there was to be no other Pope elected. So that occurred in history, but we also, to me, get the promise that as God recognizes the work of the devil and what his plans are, So God recognizes what the plans of the devil are today for the followers of Christ. And he already is preparing areas to protect God's people from the wrath of the devil using whatever powers the devil's going to use. You know, specifically the image of the beast in these last days. But this shows us that our bread and our water are going to be sure. And you can look at the spiritual context of that. The truth, as well as the cleansing water of Christ, the cleansing blood of the Savior, was with his followers during this 1260 and also will be with his followers during these last days. So not just literally God is going to feed us and keep us from thirst, but he's going to also supply us with all of the grace, the truth, the nourishment of our spiritual life that's necessary until the power of the devil is eliminated, which is a great comfort.
Great points, bro. So every time we read in our time, prophetically speaking, you know, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, those who keep the commandments of God in the face of Jesus, is that by the grace of God, they're going to continue keeping the commandments of God and having the faith of Jesus or the law and the gospel combined in their life. In that other famous quote, Revelation 14:12, here's to the patience of the saints. They're going to have patience. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And we know they don't keep it to themselves, as we read earlier, because it's their whole life. It's what they do. It's a part of them because Jesus is inside them. They can't keep it to themselves. And even for those that see a martyr's death, like in Revelation 20 verse 4, where it says, and I saw, John sees them in vision, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. So now this is coming to yet to be happening on this earth, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, that they were victorious in their death. And remember, we all know in death, you can't do anything to a dead man or a woman or a child. They can't be tempted anymore. They can't go through any, you know, sad things that happen in one's life or temptations and trials. If they died in Christ, they're secure and they'll come and rejoice that they'll have no part in the second death. They'll never see death ever again. Let's make our calling and election sure by dying to self and preaching our own funeral of ourself, you know, capital S, dying to self and living for Jesus. Perhaps we'll leave it there for this week and take it up at verse 15. There's only three more verses to this chapter before we get to chapter 13, dealing with a wonderful array of more prophecy, which we're going to relate to, obviously, to chapter 12 and to other chapters of the Bible. But is there anything else anyone would like to share what we've looked at?
Have a very good night. I have to go to a Bible study prayer meeting, and I will see you Friday. Have a good one, and God bless everyone.
God bless you too, sis. Thank you for coming to ours here. We're glad to have you.
You're welcome. Bye.
The statement, living for Jesus, reminds me of a song we used to sing in grade school, Living for Jesus, a Life That Is True. That's a great hymn.
Is that the one, sis?
That's it. Brother, do you know that song?
Yeah, but I could always cheat and press this button. But hearing you would be better. Does anyone else know it? Would people, brothers and sisters, like to take a verse?
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in my redemption didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy redemption didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
James, sing the fourth one, a third one, and I'll try the fourth.
Hey, you got sound. Amen.
Yeah, I'm on Elaine's. Mine wouldn't work. It's a borrowed computer anyway. Mine's in the hospital.
Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy redemption didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live for Christ, to Thee alone.
Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Amen. What a powerfully written and sung song that is. I shall seek to keep that in the memory for the future use. Thank you for the request, sis, and for taking it up. Sister Jean, Brother Dick, Sister Jane. That was beautiful. Well, is there any testimonies anybody has to share, any praises or prayer requests before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please always feel free to go ahead and share away.
Yes. Today I was in, I think, a Walmart. Wasn't it Walmart? Yeah, it was Walmart. And the fellow just ahead of us had a very glum look on his face. And I'll tell you, the cashier worked and worked to try to get him to smile. He would not smile. And as he walked away, we commented about it. And she said, I tried to get him to smile. And I said, you can smile when you can't say a word. You can smile when you cannot be heard. You can smile when it's cloudy or fair. You can smile anytime, anywhere. She liked the song too. I left her with a smile, I'll tell you.
And one of my favorite songs.
And a smile doesn't cost anything.
I have a praise. For the first time in, I don't know, maybe 2 years, I had somebody at the senior center take my blood pressure, and I haven't really been doing anything specifically for blood pressure, other than I'm walking 3 days a week, and I've maybe made changes to my diet. For one thing, I'm trying to go without gluten, which I've seen a big improvement. my blood pressure was 140 over 72. And the last time I had it taken, 2 years ago, I was told that, oh, I need to lower it because it was 155 over 80. I just praise the Lord that, you know, it's, he's the one that has worked through the changes I have made.
Amen.
Can you folks hear me? Because my computer's giving me a very hard time. It's telling me I'm not on, but I'm getting audio. Anyway, I have a praise the Lord. As my dear brother James knows, I've been very overcome with fatigue recently, all the time, every time. I mean, I've done all the things I know. I've prayed. I've used the encyclopedia and everything. And it's improved a little bit. But today, I woke worse than ever. But through this meeting, I have really, really come good. I'm feeling more alive than I've felt for years. Praise the Lord. Praise the people who've been sharing with me. I just had to share that with you.
Well, I found today that I am getting stronger. I even managed to cook a pot of beans. I can carry things by putting them on the little seat part of the assisting device that I use. It's on four wheels, and you can sit down if you get too tired. So anything I'm going to carry, I put on that seat. So I was able to pick the pan up with beans, which soaked all night, put them on the seat of the chair, and roll it over to the stove and put it on the burner and make a pot of beans, which turned out delicious. And I was so happy about that. Beans are good food.
Well, I have a praise the Lord as well. Kind of a indirect praise the Lord, but we have a blood pressure measuring device here, and I was taking my blood pressure and it was registering like 170 over 95, and I was thinking, wow, that's really high. And it was pretty consistent. It was about, you know, that endangering high level. And I was wondering, well, how can my blood pressure be that high? My diet is good. I get exercise. Probably need to get more, but surely it can't be that high. And then I started looking at how I was to take my blood pressure. And it has two symbols on it. One is how you lay the cuff over your arm, and the other one is where the cuff needs to be to take your blood pressure. And what I was doing was I was laying the cuff where I should, but the little arrow that is to line up with the vein, I actually had the arrow on the back of my elbow instead of up on the front of my arm. And so as soon as I recognized that mistake, I flipped it over and put the arrow right where the vein should be and took my blood pressure, and it registered a 128 over 74. And I said, oh, praise the Lord, I don't have high blood pressure. I just need to figure out how to use the thing. So that's why I say it's kind of an indirect praise the Lord. But it is a praise the Lord that he honors those who keep the eight laws of health. Yeah, it is a big difference in the numbers. So anyways, after I overcame my embarrassment on that, I was quite relieved and happy.
Thank you for sharing your prizes, brethren, sisters. That's wonderful. I'll add to it. This week I was blessed to not feel that paralyzing feeling in the back at all since we've last spoken on Sabbath. So that was a wonderful relief. Pray it keeps up and I keep doing what I can with the exercises, etc. I'm so glad. That's a wonderful story, bro. You know, it's really direct in a way. I mean, what a relief it must have been when you find out something's not what it first appears. Oh, what a blessing. It's blood pressure day. That's good to hear. Successful levels. Well, perhaps we could have a season of prayer. If anyone is impressed to praise, and pray, please feel free to do so, and I'll go last.
Dear Father in heaven, how very blessed we are that you are, as always, our shield and our refuge from all the trials that beset us daily. We are sometimes so full of our own woes that we too easily feel discouraged, and we desperately need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But as we are mindful of your matchless love for each of us, we sense in your presence the comfort that is always available to us, unworthy though we may be. I often feel so undeserving of all the blessings that come my way. And one of these is that you so often see my needs even before I ask for your help, and sometimes even before I have realized that I have a need. And I thank you so very much for answering my prayer today about my continuing fatigue. What an extra blessing that is. I ask that I may always be perceptive enough to heed your advice, to be aware of what you would have me do when seeking your guidance. While we so often feel the comfort and security of your presence in our lives, we are also very aware of the many of those near and dear to us who are totally unaware of what they are missing out on and who may actively resist our efforts to share with you the wonders of your love, to share with them the wonders of your love. But please help us to never give up on trying to share with them what being a child of yours means to us in our everyday lives. Please accept this heartfelt prayer offered in the name of your Son. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, again, thank you so much for this sweet fellowship we have with one another. And it's because you're in the middle of it. You make everything sweet with your presence. Be with each one of us in this meeting and help this afterglow to shine even more to others with whom we come in contact. Thank you for all of your blessings, known and unknown. And we just thank you. Thank you for the smiles and the laughter that comes our way, because you take away the cares, you take away the temptations and the power of the evil one. Be with us for the rest of this meeting, and may we continue to bask in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we'll try it again here. I started a little bit ago and pressing the space bar and thought I was on until Joan's audio came through. So, loving Father, we thank you for your protection today on our travel to town and back. We pray that we left a good influence with the people we had encounters with. We pray that they will read the tracks that we left them, and that it will influence their voting in the near future. We ask for the strength that we need each day to accomplish the things that come to hand. A bunch of us here are past 25 now, and we have aches and pains, and we're needing help. So we ask for that help. You've promised to answer our prayers, and we'll trust that you'll do it in your own way. We thank you for the meeting tonight. Though I didn't get to hear much of it, I thought and thought trying to get into the chat room via the borrowed computer, which failed me miserably. And we're thankful that one of them here at least works. Bless those who came to the meeting tonight and those who couldn't come. If there are any sick and afflicted among us, please lay your healing hand upon them. If not a healing hand, a comforting hand. And give us on this side of the world a good night's rest, and those on the other side a good day's to serve you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father in heaven, thank you very much for the privilege of hearing praises from your children and putting praises in my own heart and tongue. We're told in the book of Psalms that whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. And it's a privilege to see and hear how you work in other people's brothers and sisters' lives, individually and collectively as well. We know that we can be a greater influence as we continue in Jesus in this world, both as individuals and individuals that make up your church worldwide, as home churches, etc. Though separate from, you know, many miles, yet not far at all from the heart of God, not far at all from the sight of God, and having a foresight for us, for the future glory to yet be revealed. victories in this life through Jesus Christ. And thank you for letting us look back on history in seeing the preparation for the great persecutions of your dear church in past ages, and the assurance that you already had a place prepared, victories to gain through your Son Jesus Christ and his ministration and giving of the Holy Spirit to all who ask you through his merits. Thank you, Jesus. It will never be diminished. I ask that you'll help our faith grow, that we might receive much more than we've received. Not because we're greedy, but we want to glorify you. And you have unlimited riches. And since we don't want to serve self and serve you instead, it's not greedy at all. Wanting to be godlike, wanting to be a Christian in the heart, in the mind, in the life. We indeed thank you for different ways in which you impress your children to act. I think it's been wonderful to hear the different praises, and indeed we uphold the precious seeds of truth, the precious looks and words spoken, that they'll not be lost on the receivers, that it'll go and stay in their memory. We know, Spirit, you can bring it back in an instant. We don't exist because of nothing. We know we're not only created in the image of God, but we are sustained. We are maintained. Thank you that we can have a part in your work to be restored instead of destroyed, like the devil would like to have, especially in our lives, because we don't want to serve him. And we know what it is to serve God. We ask that you'll help us continue to see precious souls more from your point of view and work for them accordingly, because they can learn to love you, because what's not to love about you when we know who you actually are and who the devil, the enemy, actually is? Help us live this great help us live this great controversy theme and give it to others who are dying, who don't even know they are, and those who think they are as well. Bring us together again for Sabbath. It's always the greatest day of the week in terms of worship and coming aside and having a taste of heaven to come, because of the significance of getting away from this world as we know it for one day as far as possible, and of course with God's blessing on it. And thank you so much for spiritual and physical health. Regardless of our age, we know that we need you. We need your education, how you made us, what we were made, what we were designed for, what we were designed to live on, and how we were designed to work. And we thank you that we're not without knowledge on this important subject and on the important subjects of salvation. Help us continue in your love. And we love you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you, dear sis, and good night. Glad you could join us, brethren and sisters. But before we close tonight, is there anything else on brethren and sisters' minds before we ask, Brother Dick is, oh yeah, he's with Sister Hello. Before Brother Dick sings us away, anything that anyone would like to share before we close?
My brother, how close are you to coming out with your first video of the interviews?
I don't know. It's supposed to rain today. I possibly might have some time to spend on it and understand the ins and outs of, you know, copy, pasting, inserting music. So I don't know. I'd like to say in faith soon. We'll see what happens. I just hope that I'll understand the ins and outs sooner rather than later. And so that'll be easier in the future. And hopefully, Lord willing, I could bring out, you know, one or two videos a week, provided I get to go out. And that would be just fantastic. I'm looking forward to the lifting of the masks here on Sunday, midnight. So, yeah, I'm sorry I haven't got a more exact date. But Lord willing, I'll have an answer to that. It might even surprise you. Well, it's been a blessing once again, like a sister mentioned in prayer, because of God being present with us. And not just on the outside, is it? It's an internal experience in the heart, throne of the heart. Well, until next time, keep looking up, and may our brethren and sisters have stronger, particularly Brother Dick, access to the internet. We're grateful you could come in and stay in via Sister Elaine. God bless until we meet again.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Thank you, Sister Michelle, for the cloud. Good night, everybody.
Good night, and God bless.